Welcome to Global Leader Radio, sponsored by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, discussing ideas that matter with people who care. Now here's your host, Director of Business Development and Instructor of Management for the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, Alvin Miles.
Well, happy Tuesday and welcome to episode 43 of Global Leader Radio. The purpose of our show is to engage in conversations that highlight our guests, educate our learning community, and add value to all those who seek to optimize their leadership acumen. We achieve this purpose by providing our learning community with key takeaways, including resources and advice that have led to the personal and professional success of our guests. And we've got a couple of great guests today. Our topic for today is, which skills will today's small business leaders need? And to help provide insights on this topic, we welcome today's guests, Laura Ann Hart and Veronica Maldonado. So Laura Ann Hart is the president of Quickie Coupons, and she's a sales and marketing entrepreneur who has sold more than $40 million in goods and services in the past 8 years. She began Quickie Coupons in early 2009, and today it's distributed to thousands of locations throughout Georgia. Currently, Quickie Coupons is the number one coupon book in the Acworth, Kennesaw market, and she was a finalist for Kennesaw's Business of the Year in both 2010 and 2011. Prior to Quickie, Laura worked with Remax and was voted Rookie of the Year in 2005. She went on to become a top producer from then until she began Quickie Coupons. Laura graduated from Shorter College with a bachelor's degree in business administration. And Veronica Maldonado is the Director of Strategic Alliance and Partnerships with the Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council, or the GMSDC, and the Program Director of the Georgia Mentor-Protege Connection. And Veronica excels in creating and executing promotional programs, building strategic alliances, and managing multiple projects with just that je ne sais quoi, or that excellence, right? So the goal of the Georgia Mentor-Protege Connection program is to help small businesses become successful by helping them to develop capacity, enhance their skill sets, and become more competitive by matching them with the proper mentor to help speed their development. Veronica is a founding board member and past president of the National Latina Business Women's Association of Atlanta, or the Atlanta chapter, and she oversaw the planning, logistics, and execution of special events for the Latin American Association. And she's currently on the steering committee. And Veronica says her most treasured titles are dedicated mother, citizen, and follower of Christ. And I would imagine they're in that order, or maybe inverse. But we'll get a chance to learn a little bit more about that as we move along. So Laura and Veronica, welcome to Global Leader Radio.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. So, Laura, if you don't mind, let's begin with you.
Sure.
And so how are you today?
I'm great. A little nervous.
But
I'm doing good.
I'm always nervous when I come on Global Leader Radio. I don't know why, but I always am. So to begin with, please tell us a little bit about the lady behind the leader, starting with your original birthplace in your home, and then take us up to the present.
All right. I was actually born in Georgia, in Columbus, and my father got a job out of state and transferred us to Minneapolis, lived there about 5 years, and he had gone as far as he could go in the company he was with and decided, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. So he packed up his family, moved back to Georgia, over to Marietta, and that was about 1980. And for the next 2 years, he lived off about $100,000 for his company and for his family, made no money. But over the course of the next 20 years, he built like a $40 million company.
Wow. Amazing.
So he definitely is like a true inspiration. Mm. The entrepreneurial spirit lives in within my dad, and he's kind of passed it on to me and my brother and my mom. So let's see. We moved back, started the company. I went to college, obviously went to Botter. Then I went to Shorter. The only thing I got out of one of the colleges was I met my husband. I got my Mrs. degree. I got my Mrs. degree.
I love it.
But then got married very young, about 23, mm-hmm. and went back to college. That's when I went to Shorter, mm-hmm. pregnant with my third. Mm-hmm. I believed that it was important enough that I had to get my education in order to do my own thing long term.
Okay.
and have a very supportive husband, three kids. I've done a lot of different micro businesses throughout my life, but my really big success, because you have a lot of failures when right. you do business, but then my biggest success was probably real estate. Okay. I had a friend who got me in it, and she said, you would be great. But the thing about real estate is it teaches you how to serve. Mm-hmm. You see the very best of people, and you see the very worst, because you're put into a situation where you're dealing with their money and their life. And it's up to you to make sure everybody's okay. So I did real estate for about five and a half years and had an incredible career. And I was sharing with one of our other guests earlier that the gift my husband gave me when I was in real estate was, baby, it's your turn to take over the mortgage now that you're making more money than me. So
the gift that keeps on
it
giving.
It did. He said, I've done it for 15 years. It's your turn. So, but the market fell. Mm-hmm. And me, like a lot of other people who were in that industry, what are we going to do? How are we going to support our families? And how are we going to make our mortgage and feed our kids and do all the things that we were used to doing? So a friend of mine, no, actually, that friend got me in real estate. So what I decided to do is I looked around for a business to buy. Couldn't find one.
Okay.
So I said, all right, what can I do to help me survive and help my community? And at that time, I know until today, I love working with small businesses. There's a passion that we have to do more, be better, and give back. And I said, all right, how can I connect community with small businesses? Well, coupons were making a huge comeback. It was just on the tip of really start. It was before really Groupon and Living Social came out. I said, all right, let me put together something. We'll distribute it to the community and see what happens. Okay. And we were profitable month two.
Wow.
Made money. And it has escalated. About a year and a half into the business, I decided I'm going to franchise it. So met with the attorney, did all the research, got everything together. So now we're an official franchisor. I can sell anywhere in the country, a Quickie Coupons territory.
I love that.
So that's, in a nutshell, that's kind of where we are. A little long story there.
Well, no. But we love long stories because what we found in Global Leader Radio is that people really want to understand what the leader does, where the leader comes from, and kind of what has inspired you to get to where you are today. And so as the president of Quickie Coupons, what do you do on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis?
I would say, let me start with my dad real quick. He always had this saying, you should always be willing to take out the trash and attend the board meeting. You should do it all as an owner. And I got to say I do a little bit of all because we are a true micro business. We're very successful. My husband has just come into business with me, which is a little scary. So we're working out the kinks on I'm letting go. He's got a whole different set of skills that I don't have.
Okay.
As far as he comes from management, he was a director of operations. He's very system-oriented. Mm-hmm. I'm the girl with the notepad and let's go.
Let's make it happen, right?
Yeah, well, it's kind of where I am because that's what you had to do in real estate. It's what I had to do with Quickie Coupons. So the bottom line is I want to say I do it all. I do sales. I do marketing. I do the social. I do the meetings. I come up with what's going on the website. I do manage distribution, put the teams together. I deal with, attorneys and franchising and you name it, I do it. But that's what's so great. Every day is different.
Yeah. So do you feel a little bit more comfortable taking on those type of roles, knowing that you've got your degree behind you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because when you walk in, I hate to say this because I truly believe there comes a point that your experience outweighs your education. Mm-hmm. But I believe you've got to have the education to help you get that experience. So it's kind of two-sided in a sense. I'm all for it. I got a daughter who's headed to college in the fall, but I also have a son who did a year and a half of college who mm-hmm. said, it's not for me. So I've got both, and that in itself, it took me a year not to feel guilty about it. What did I do? Why did it work? But, there are different opportunities for different people. I do believe you have to, for me to walk into a meeting, they're looking at me going, she knows what she's doing.
Right.
Well, the education has given me the confidence.
Right.
And then having that confidence has allowed me to be in different situations that I can handle and learn from.
Understood.
So, yes.
Great point. And I'll tell you, you don't need to worry about your son. We'll get him later.
That's kind of it. I'm like, he's a late bloomer. That's kind of where I'm at.
I can speak to being a late bloomer. I know all about that piece of it. So tell us, how did you land on the name Quickie Coupons? What's the quickie part of it?
Okay, the original let me start with demographics.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to reach the most people as quickly as possible, in a sense? So we pulled a demographic that we wanted to reach daytime population.
I'll
give you an example. Kennesaw Acworth has roughly, and the numbers have changed a little bit, about 100,000 people who drive there every day. What are they doing, though? They're eating lunch. They're spending money. I'm calling my carpet cleaner. I'm doing the things I can't do when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
So you're spending money in this community. So I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought.
The name Quickie.
Oh, okay.
Because we're also getting a car wash, too, because I know I drive 53 miles to Kennesaw every day, and I get my car wash there.
Absolutely. So what we did is that the original logo had a block, that in which we've changed it since, that had a block that said the things you could do between 10 and 2.
Ah.
Quickly.
Gotcha.
You need to do this quickly. And people are doing and spending money quickly between that time frame. And that's how we just fashion. I mean, we talked about coupon connoisseur and all kinds of stuff. And we're like, you know what? We want it to be fun. And when you say the word quickie, that brings a smile like that to everybody's face, because you're thinking some other stuff. But we've done a very good job at keeping it G-rated.
Uh-huh.
We don't do alcohol. We don't do liquor. I mean, we do have bars and restaurants, but they can't advertise prices.
Okay.
Because our book goes in schools.
Okay.
And the parents love them. So.
And that was one of the values you had behind Quickie. Do you have a set of values that you use to, or just those values that are inherent in your mind, this is the way we're going to run Quickie Coupons, obviously the G-rated and the...
Right. Yes, we do have a set of values about how we do it, and it is something that is inherent with me, my husband. I have a business partner who came in early on. I took him a sheet of paper, and I said, this is what I want to do. And he goes, what? He goes, explain it to me. So I pitched him the business plan, and he has, which I feel really blessed to have him on our team, he has 30 years of advertising experience. They were the number one advertising agents for Home Depot.
Wow.
They were the original advertising company for Home Depot. They got it all started on the little Homer and brands, and then they went on to RBM of Atlanta and Haverty's and what have you. Anyways, he's retired.
Mm.
But I needed a graphic designer who knew the business, who could, and it's cool, I could tell him what I want, he could create it.
Okay.
And It was just we were very blessed.
And it worked out well.
It did. He's great.
Yeah. So why coupons?
Why coupons? You know, when I got out of real estate, when I was making the transition into Quickie, my family, honestly, how were we going to survive?
Okay.
We were living A lifestyle. Now we're down to D lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to still do the things that we want to do and not feel deprived?
Got it.
And coupons had a real big hit in the 90s and then waned out. And then when things started shifting, people started going back to it. So it's something that now you're accustomed to, whether you're white collar, blue collar, executive level. I see, and it's funny, when I'm seen in a restaurant, whether it's a fast casual or a dine-in, and I see the people holding up their Quickie coupon books going, yeah, I'm getting $5 off that 25.
Right.
You almost feel stupid if you don't use it.
That's a great point. So. What a great point. So thank you for that.
Sure.
And so now we'll hit the pause button with Laura Ann, and we'll move over to Veronica Maldonado. She's a Director of Strategic Alliance and Partnerships with the GMSDC and the Program Director of the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection. So how are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm enjoying being here and hearing this great story. It's nice to hear the stories of our small business owners. We have just such a great pool of entrepreneurs in Georgia. I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Well, absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about you, starting with your original birthplace and home and where you grew up and share us a little bit about your work experience and take us up to the present.
Excellent. I was born in Gainesville, Florida in the early 80s. My parents are immigrants, came from Cartagena, Colombia in the 80s. So I grew up in Gainesville, lived there maybe about 4 years, and there was lots of opportunity, and business was booming in Atlanta, so they decided to move to Georgia. And I've been in Georgia ever since. Background, you know, my parents are both entrepreneurs. We come from an entrepreneurial family. My mother is a business owner as of 30 years.
Wow. My
father's mother is an entrepreneur as of 50 years, one of the first tourism companies in Colombia and one of the biggest now. I grew up with great parents. I grew up with parents that believed that you had the power to become anything that you wanted to become. Mm-hmm. As long as you had a goal and you focused on that goal, you could achieve that goal. I went to school at St. Pius Catholic High School, did a little bit of time at Florida International University.
As a student,
and then my life derailed a little bit, or as I like to see it, my journey began. I'm just an innately curious individual, I was a recording artist. So all my life I knew I was going to be a recording artist, and had an opportunity at a young age to focus on my dream, and my dream took me elsewhere.
Okay.
With that in mind, it also took me to business, and I ended up working for Sony BMG and EMI Music Marketing, and discovered my love for marketing and development, informing our folks about where to put certain genres of music in the southern region. So I traveled quite a bit and discovered that I just had a pure passion for people.
Pure passion for people.
I love
that.
I love triple P.
That is, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Pure passion for people. And at a very young age, I knew that I was in some way going to be connecting. And so my experience, you know, growing up in a family business, my mother's business, a marketing boutique business. I actually worked for her for several years as VP of marketing. And I saw the struggles of a small business owner. You know, my grandfather came here and started that business. She later became president. I saw the struggles that she went through. I understand what small businesses go through on a daily basis. And lo and behold, there was just the seed sprouting in me that said, I need to gain some experience in other areas. I want to go work for a corporate like Sony BMG and a corporate like EMI. I want to learn about distribution, about business development, you know, big box retailers, how the big world kind of does things. Mm-hmm. And I brought that home to our small business for several years. And what I saw was connecting people that needed resources. And from then sprouted this need to become a resource, to become value added for folks. And I used to have folks that work with me say, Veronica, you know, I just call you just because you know some folks. You know folks that can refer me to. And I said, hey, I'll take that any day of the week. If you want to call me because I know someone that I can connect you with, it's just all about giving to others so that you can receive. And I think that's truly been my philosophy as I've kind of grown and evolved a little bit, is you've got to give to receive. And I just plan on giving more than receiving.
Well,
all of that comes to fruition.
I would totally agree. Our good friend Bob Littell would certainly agree with you there.
Absolutely.
He's actually in studio and has blessed us with his presence today. So Bob, hello. So take us to how you got to the GMSDC.
So I was at the Latin American Association doing business development for them. Really love the organization. It was my first time being engaged in a nonprofit from a day-to-day business operation, and seeing how the inner workings of a nonprofit is. And I said, ooh, I knew about sales. I knew about marketing. I knew about business development. I knew about all these different areas. But wow, isn't it nice to learn how nonprofits work? And there was a moment where I said, I know I can get in kind. I know I can help more people when I do that. I know that the more connections that I have, the more I can help the mission. And that was something else that I discovered, that I'm a mission-driven individual. As long as I believe in the mission, I will go to bat for it any day of the week. And so GMSDC came about. Stacy Key's an amazing leader, and I've known about GMSDC for about 25 years because my mother is a minority business owner.
Gotcha.
And GMSDC certifies ethnic minority-owned businesses to be able to do business with the state of Georgia, with the federal government, et cetera. And I was working on several initiatives at the Latin American Association, developed a couple of philanthropic societies with a great team of ladies, and managed a couple of programs, was part a key part in the Hispanic Corporate Leadership Forum, which that is the steering committee that I still am on today,
okay,
working with business resource groups. And so, you know, Stacy Key gave me a call one day. She said, hey, you know, why don't we just meet? And there's this great program that's been a part of the state for several years. It began under Governor Roy Barnes in 99, and it's a business development program. We help create jobs for the state of Georgia by developing small businesses. And I said, wow. You know, talk about being able to impact and, you know, being able to help and being a resource. I truly felt that that was a great opportunity. And she said, you know, we've got great partners with Georgia Tech's Enterprise Innovation Institute and the Georgia Department of Economic Development and 200 alumni, great corporations on board. And I said, wow, this is something I could definitely put my mark on and really help. Impacting is the word that I like to use a lot, because as long as I feel I'm impacting, I know I'm doing my job.
Right.
And we're impacting these small business owners through the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection.
Okay.
And that at GMSDC is a part of that program as well. So GMSDC administers the program.
Okay.
In partnership with Georgia Tech and the Department of Economic Development. We actually just concluded our first year, my first graduates, a couple of weeks ago at Delta Airlines. We had our graduation, and you know, I can tell you, seeing 20 businesses matched up with folks like the Coca-Cola Company and Delta Airlines and Lockheed Martin and the Home Depots and just these amazing businesses that have amazing resources, to match them up for 12 months, I don't see that done anywhere else. And I'm proud to say that Georgia was the first state-sponsored mentor-protege program in the nation. So for that, I'm very, very proud that we are still continuing with the legacy of this program. And we help businesses between $1 to $30 million.
Okay.
Like I said, we match them up with corporations for a 12-month program.
So how do you do that? Is that a special pairing process?
Or? Absolutely. Okay. There's an extensive vetting process. We ask corporations, alumni, economic development folks, business organizations, chambers of commerce to nominate the best of the best. And we want them to be civically engaged, community oriented, you know, good stewards and excellent businesses. So yeah, we get lots of nominations from our business organization and strategic partners. And they've got an extensive application, which just ended not too long ago. So, you know, they've got to submit an application, reference letters, give us their business plan. What are the strategic plan for the next 3 years? And we whittle them down. A good friend of mine who's the director of entrepreneurship and development at the Georgia Department of Economic Development, and Stacy Key and I, we sit down and we have 2 days of 20 to 30 minute back-to-back meetings with all the applicants. So we really want to get to know who you are, why you want to be a part of this program, what value you seek during the 12-month period.
And is that the mentees or the mentors?
So the mentors are the corporations. The
Correct.
Corporations will assign, more often than not, someone in the supplier diversity group that's focused on business development, supplier development.
Correct.
And the protégés are the actual applicants, the small business owner.
Those are the ones you're interviewing.
Those are the ones we interview and we talk to, and we vet them. And if they pass that phase, then we have what's called our mentor vetting day. And our mentor vetting day is, you know, they come in and do rapid fire 10-minute interviews with all of the corporations in the program. So if it's 20 that are on board this year or 30 that are on board this year, they're all in a room. And, you know, they make their pitch.
It's like speed dating for
mentors.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And then we ask our corporations, hey, give us your top three choices.
Okay.
I do ask the applicants, what are your top three choices and why? You know, are you wanting to focus on operations, on infrastructure, on marketing, business development, whatever need it is that you have? What are those three needs and why do you think these corporations can help you?
Okay.
And so once I get you know, from the corporate mentor and from the protege, once I get that information, I go ahead and whittle it down and say, okay, this looks like an appropriate match at the end of the day. And we've had some great success stories. We had a gentleman, Carlos Quinones with Display America, you know, that cut operational costs by $80,000.
Wow.
You know, UPS came in and was able to integrate his accounting system with his inventory system. And it's just amazing to see the value that is brought by a one-on-one mentoring opportunity. And what I love the most about the program, and I love the most about being a part of the program, is the fact that not only do we have 5-6 educational core modules throughout the year, but you have an entire network of an organization like a UPS, Coca-Cola, Johnson Control, Accenture, that has subject matter experts that are available to match up with the small business owner. You know, HR, oh, you have an HR need? Okay, fine. Let me get the director or what C-level or someone who can help you with your deficiency per se or what your goal is. And I love seeing those opportunities come to play. At the end of the day, what small businesses need is a helping hand. You know, a lot of the small businesses that come through our program may have a degree, may have thought about being entrepreneur or not. But more often than not, we find folks that just have a passion for a particular field and need to learn how to navigate the waters of being an entrepreneur. One of the entrepreneurs in the program, Sid Ahmed with VDART, was matched with Delta. And he came to me and he said, Veronica, my business is growing. I've got almost 200 employees. How do I bring them my mission? How do I bring the mission from the top to the bottom? How do I get all my folks engaged in what we're all about? Mm-hmm. And Delta did an amazing job of helping him streamline his communication with his employees, mm-hmm. minimizing attrition, which is huge for small businesses and growing businesses. And, you know, that's what we do in the program. At the end of the day, we've got great partners like the SBDC, the Small Business Development Center, of course, Georgia Tech's Enterprise Innovation Institute, GTPAC. We just are a safe haven for our small business owners to come together and say, these are our issues, let's tackle them. And by the end of the 12 months, we're ready. We're able to do business with our corporates and our, you know, our federal government or local government. And it's amazing. It's amazing to witness and it's amazing to see the synergies amongst all the small businesses that come together as well. One of the things that we've seen with the program is the fact that from CEO to CEO, you know, being in a room with 20 small business owners and saying, hey, I've got huge issues with sales, or healthcare is an area I'm really concerned about. What are you guys doing over there? For them to be able to kind of lower their guard because they've developed this amazing relationship amongst their peers and say, this is what I'm going through. How are you guys dealing with it? That's an amazing additional benefit, I think, to the program. So
there's no doubt. So it sounds like you're taking the passion of small businesses and combining it with the expertise of the large businesses,
absolutely,
proteges and mentors together. So drawing on your expertise as Director of Strategic Alliance and Partnerships, how do you differentiate between a strategic alliance and a tactical alliance?
Very good question. Well, strategic. When I think strategic, I think, what can I give them and what can they give me? What's the end result when it comes to the strategic alliance? If it's working with individuals, like we've got a strategic alliance with the Georgia Chamber.
Okay.
Georgia Chamber of Commerce is an amazing organization that we want to do more business with. You know, how can we leverage each other's events? How can we promote those events to our constituent base, which is, we've got about 700 small businesses. Not small. I need to be careful using that word, because we've got rather large businesses in the GMSDC network.
Okay.
You know, we've got about 54 of them that are over the 70 million mark. So
that's a little bit larger than small.
So we're trying to find strategic folks like the Georgia Chamber, like the Georgia Hispanic Chamber, or the Latin American Chamber, like TAG, the Technology Association of Georgia, and adding value for our mutual constituent base. So that in the end of the day is, what do our folks need? How can we not reinvent the wheel? Mm-hmm. You know, we're one organization. How can we leverage what they already do well and, you know, piggyback and work with one another?
So there may not even be such a thing as a tactical partnerships for you. Based on what you do?
I think we are very strategic, yes. You know, when we focus on alliances and really are not looking for anything that's not aligned with serving the mission and the purpose of what we're all about. Mm. So, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So you see your role with the Georgia Mentor Protégé Program as a call to Georgia and their corporations for an investment of time, talent, and funding of that
Absolutely.
Program. And so assuming one of those target companies were listening now, what would you say to them?
I would say 97% of Georgians are employed by small businesses. How can we not afford to invest in our small business community? That's what I would say. Mm. I would say that it's in all of our best interests to develop our small business community. And if we are not doing that, then we are doing all of us a great disservice.
Very well put. And we've been talking with Veronica Maldonado, the Director of Strategic Alliance and Partnerships with the Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council and the Program Director of the Georgia Mentor Protégé Connection. She's been giving us a little bit of insight on what goes into that and how it actually has benefited both the mentors and the protégés. So as we pivot back toward Laura Ann Hart, the president of Quickie Coupons, Laura, tell us a little bit about the skills today's small businesses need in your perspective.
The skills we need to run our
company. To run your company and make it work.
Well, I'm actually going to kind of go over to what Veronica was saying. It's interesting because she's talking small business, mm-hmm. and there's a definite difference between small business and micro business. And most of the businesses that I'm associated with would probably be called micro.
Okay.
I mean, we do have your big guys like KBMC, Gas South, and what have you, who are involved with a lot of the programs that I work with. But it's those micro businesses. How do you get from A to B to C to where you are a true small business, mm-hmm. in a sense where you're hitting that $1 million or more a year? And I find that that is the never-ending search. Hmm. And me as a micro business, same thing. I am constantly looking for different ways to do things. How do I leverage mm-hmm. my contacts and the people I know? How can I be a part of the community? Let me back up a little bit. A lot of what I do is grassroots.
Oh, right. Exactly.
It's truly that grassroots. It is that relationship.
And it has to be at this point, right?
It does. Yes. Absolutely. When you're building a business. And I love that. That is probably my favorite part about what I do. I call it the sofa talk. Let's sit down. Mm-hmm. Let's find out, what do you need? How can I help you? And if I can't help you, I'm going to put you in contact with someone who can help you mm-hmm. promote your business mm-hmm. and push it to a level. I mean, there's people that we turn away. You're not a good fit. Mm. I don't want you to spend money because it is so precious to everyone these days, but especially those micro businesses. I don't want them spending money when I'm not going to be able to help them.
Okay.
But if I know I can help you, here I come with guns blazing. Okay. I can help you and this will work. I don't think I answered your question.
No, I think you did because what you talked about a little bit of the skills that small business leaders need, and really you kind of segregated it down to micro. And I know that Veronica talked a little bit about the small business mm-hmm. to medium size, and of course you differentiated at the $70 million mark, and
that's a great
larger
business.
Than small.
Absolutely.
Process improvement, obviously. But you also talked about some attributes which, you know, from a leadership perspective are important. Integrity, because you've got some things that you certainly don't want to go beneath. And if you can't help somebody, you'll let them know right up front. So there's some communication that's going on there as well.
Absolutely. I think that whatever it is you're doing, if you're in charge of your own company or you're the president or CEO, whether it's micro, medium, large, what have you, there's got to be a set of expectations you have for yourself. Mm-hmm. And once you have those expectations, you need to be able to convey them to those that work with you, mm-hmm. work around you, and that you work with.
Okay.
And I believe that is something we do a very good job at. Like I said, if I can't help you, I will find someone who can. I probably spend more of my day educating than selling, but that's what's so great. There's something that floats around with our Kennesaw Business Association, and it's a great little saying that if we can just take care of our backyard, and you take care of your backyard, then we end up with a really incredible community. Mm. And we do that by supporting each other, helping each other grow. And when you mentioned about CEOs being able to sit in a room, it is something that I would love to see more of, because you need a safe place that you can go, hey, I've got this issue. How do I fix it? How do I change it? How do I grow? And it's one thing that I think with micro business owners, we don't have that resource. It is something that we have to constantly, I know for me personally, I have to constantly go out and find it. Mm-hmm. When I was looking at franchising my company, oh, how do you do that? I knew what it was. I knew I needed to do it. I knew it would help our growth level. I sought out someone, and I'm a true believer of this, seek out those that are smarter than you,
right,
and you absolutely can learn. Bob Stoll, he is the owner and founder of Cheeseburger Bobby's, but he is also the owner of Stevie B's, and they got big. They sold it off. I called Bob, and I said, look, this is what I want to do. He goes, come on in.
Okay.
Let me show you how we did it. And it was a relationship, and I didn't really know him. He was an advertiser, and he loved what I did. And I remember the first time he called me, he goes, come on up here. I want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why do you want to talk to me? I'm just putting out a coupon book. And he goes, I love what you do because you're filling a need. And from there, we developed a really good rapport that when it came franchising time, I said, I don't know how to do it. Help me.
Yeah.
So I think as whatever stage you're in with your business, you've got to start pushing yourself to surround yourself with people that, hey, help me do this. I don't know how to do it. And I am the first one to pick up a book, or if I'm going to attend a luncheon, well, you better give me some little piece of nugget that I can take with me that I can implement and share with other. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's exactly our mantra in the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. On Saturday and Sunday, you come in and you're treated to lectures and facilitation where the 40 or 50 or so people in the classroom are talking amongst themselves from various industries and sharing ideas. You know, you learn from us. We learn from you. You learn from each other. And so that's got that. All those three pieces have got to be able to come together.
Right.
And the other thing that you mentioned about what entrepreneurs really, the kind of skill they need to succeed is the ability to ask for help.
Mm. Right.
Absolutely.
And that's sometimes seen as something that's not quite kosher to do, but it's integral if you want to grow and you want to learn, or you can sit in a corner and try to figure it out yourself. But it certainly seems to enhance the time frames and collapse time frames, actually, to be able to go to someone who's done it before and reach out.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, Veronica?
And I'd love to add to that, because I think leaders that are successful are the ones that ask the questions, regardless if they think it's a smart or dumb question. There is no wrong. You know, there is no bad question. You're seeking knowledge. And so I think mentorship is key. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about macro business, I think that there are a lot of great organizations here that are truly focused on the development of those micro businesses. Sorry. You know, Startup Lounge. I think of Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce is doing a great push to focus on those folks that are wanting to start their own businesses.
Correct.
And Invest Atlanta. There's a lot of resources. The Small Business Development Center is probably one of the most underutilized secret weapons that we have in the state, and it's your taxpayer dollars at work. So for anyone that's, you know, wanting to start their own business, you know, I'd love to answer your question about what are the skill sets that small business owners or folks that are wanting to start small business should have.
We're starting right there now.
Number one is a strategic plan.
Perfect.
Businesses fail. What was it? I think Professor Lin from Tuck School of Business said the number one reason why small businesses don't succeed is because they have a lack of a strategic plan. Where are you headed? Why are you headed there? And so that's something that is essential, and you can get that easily at the Small Business Development Center with excellent folks to help you create your strategic plan. What else do small business? I think that a network of mentors, you know, the CEO to CEO network, there's an organization called Vistage International that does that. And Tim Fulton has been one of our speakers throughout the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection. And I believe he chairs one of the local chapters.
Vistage?
Yeah.
And Vistage. Lisa Dugan does it as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, you know, the whole goal is if you're interested, if you are a business owner, always seek more. Mm. Always seek to read. I always say that I'm a student of life. I've learned all of my experiences through experience. I've learned all of my lessons and those failures, as some folks like to say. I'm like, ooh, bring it on, because I know I'm going to learn so much and I'm going to grow so much. And I think the great thing about the CEO to CEO conversation, whether it's in a business chamber network environment, is the fact that you're minimizing your oops, you know, your uh-ohs, by having just those frank conversations. So I encourage folks to seek mentorship, and that's exactly what this program is all. My program is the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection program is all about mentoring. And I think whether it's a larger business mentoring you, or you know, someone to mentor your professional life or your personal life, we all need mentorship. That's how we grow.
And
truly.
Sometimes mentors are called coaches, but they are two distinctively different things, but I have heard them called the same thing from time to time. Now, tell me a little bit about the Small Business Development Center. Is there any connection with what you're doing with what they do?
The Small Business Development Center is a great partner of our program.
Okay.
A lot of the experts that we bring into the program come from the Small Business Development Center network.
Okay.
So whether we're focusing on strategic planning or finance or marketing, operations and infrastructure, we bring those subject matter experts through our SBDC partners, in addition to Georgia Tech and other folks that are just, you know, professionals in their field we bring on board. We've got a great guy that we brought, fantastic sales guy. He's a human behavior expert, Rico Pena, author of The Client Nation, you know, a local guy who has done amazing things for our folks. So SBDC is a great underutilized resource. www.georgiasbdc.org.
And that's what I wanted to touch on. Very underutilized, as is the Edge Connection. The Edge
Absolutely.
Connection is right up the street here at Kennesaw State University, and the SBDC is located there as well.
Yes.
Over at the KSU Continuing Education Center.
Yep.
And so the Edge is designed for micro entrepreneurs, correct?
Yes. They have an incubation program where they will take your idea and you will go through a program from basically conception to implementation.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you pitch it.
Interesting.
To a group. It's kind of like your graduation mm-hmm. project. You get to pitch your idea of your whole concept, and you have a board that goes, yeah, it's time to move into that next step. It's also, I actually, with Leadership Cobb, it was one of our program days that we got to go through the Edge. And very, very powerful how they run that program. It's also for like small business or micro businesses where you're struggling.
Right.
I could take my business to them, take it to Drew Tonsmeyer and go, all right, Drew, take a look and tell me what you see, and they will run you through it as well. And they have a sliding scale as far as cost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's virtually available to everybody.
Yeah. So the SBDC is Drew Tonsmeyer.
Yes.
And then the Edge is Terry L. Ottawa.
Yes.
And I've been playing possum. I actually sit on the board of the Edge Connection here.
Then you were in there when we
maybe not, because I've only been a little over a year, so I may not have been.
Yeah,
there.
We had to sit through the presentations.
Yeah, but you did a presentation of what they do far better than I ever could. So it's been perfect. So when Veronica, when we think about where your ideas and thoughts about small business came from, you mentioned that your mom and your family actually was what really got you indoctrinated in understanding how entrepreneurship business works. So is that where the passion came from? Is that where it evolved from?
My passion comes from seeing small business owners struggle.
Okay.
And seeing that if there is just one person or a resource out there to just truly offer a helping hand and show them the way, life would be so much easier. And especially when I think about immigrants coming to the community and coming here to start a better life, you know, my family really instilled in me, you better be proud of where you came from and also do something with it.
Right.
And so my passion comes from that, from the change, from being able to help somebody else. And business is where it happens to be right now. I'm passionate about business. Tomorrow, maybe I'm passionate about something else. But again, as long as I believe in the mission, that's where I'm going to be.
So a particular focus on the Hispanic business?
I would say the minority community.
Minority community.
Absolutely. It's very close to my heart.
Well, very good. Are there a set of principles that you personally live by?
I believe in being intentional. I believe that we have to wake up each day knowing what it is that we desire to do and desire to be. Mm-hmm. I think authenticity is paramount to being able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I like what I see, and hopefully that reflects on others. I truly believe that, you know, you have to have integrity and hard work ethic. So those are the principles that I live by.
So if there's a quote that perhaps sums it all up for you, what would that quote be?
Oh, goodness. And I had it down, but Henry David Thoreau has always been someone that's kind of been near and dear to my heart. And I can't remember exactly how it was that the quote goes, but I just remember the piece where he says, I want to suck the marrow out of life. And I think that sums it up. You know, whatever it is that I decide to do, however it is that I can be of service to others and the business community and our minority community, I want to suck the marrow out of that. And I hope that each person that I come in contact with, that the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection comes in contact with, that GMSDC comes in contact with, feels that energy and sees that we are really here to be a resource and to help one another.
Well put, well put. Laura, what is it that micro business owners can learn about leadership when they are the leader?
What can they learn, or
Where can they learn, and what can they learn? You've already said that experience is probably one of the better teachers.
Absolutely. I think that in a micro industry, it is, you're going to have to search out books. You're going to have to search out mentors. You're going to have to search out seminars. You're going to have to be a student of observation.
Okay.
You need to observe. How are the big players doing it? Mm. And what have they done for their company? What is their mission statement? What are the foundation principles that you can use that they have done that you can implement in your business?
Hmm. And so there are any examples of maybe blind spots that micro entrepreneurs typically overlook? Based on your experience, what you've seen, some typical issues that seem to come up quite frequently of the people that contact you wanting to be promoted, and there may be something missing in what they're trying to do, perhaps?
I find that with many people that I've got a whole array of people that I work with and know, and what I find that when it comes to, I'm going to go into the leadership portion of this.
Okay.
It is those leaders that listen astutely, you know they know what's going on. Hmm. It's the ones that are constantly running their mouth. They just want to hear themselves talk. So I have learned that I personally take in so much more when I just shut my mouth.
Right.
And hear what was your experience? How did you handle that? Tell me your story. Hmm. Now I can take those pieces and apply them back and share them. In a sense, I work with a lot of restaurants, and they're an amazing group of individuals, and a lot of them are onesies, one mom and pop, whether it's a franchise or their own concept. They're so busy working in the business that they can't work on the business. So I find that is probably one of the number one things that I see with my small businesses that I work with. How do you step out and into where you can focus on growth? Or what is the vision of the company and how can I move the company forward? Hmm. That seems to be the biggest challenge. And I think if somebody can come up with the answer to that, I mean, you could write books on how to step out of it.
Well, I'll tell you, if there's anybody that can perhaps write a book, it's probably the lady to your immediate
right. I was about to say, absolutely. Your knowledge is like, wow.
So, I just seek wisdom. That's all I ask for on a daily basis.
So, Veronica, what are you seeing based on that same question?
Listen, that is the number one issue we see with all of our small businesses, absolutely, or all of our businesses in general. It's such a personal piece of that CEO's life, or president or owner, that detaching from the day-to-day is very difficult. Mm. And I think that as leaders of their organizations, their businesses, they have to keep in mind that in order to be an effective leader, you have to empower your team to do what they do.
Okay.
And I think the key comes with delegation and learning that to let go and learning that you cannot do it all. And as long as you have the right talent in place, then you will have the confidence to be able to empower them to do what it is they're supposed to do when you hired them. So that's what we try to teach, or instill, rather, our business owners. Whether you're at 1 to 30 million, it's the same issue. It's letting go of this, I have to do everything myself, and saying, you've got the right people in place, empower them to do what they need to do. And that is how you truly step outside of the day-to-day and be able to be the visionary, which hopefully all of our CEOs are, be able to be the visionary of where that organization is headed. To be able to do that, you got to stick your head outside of the day-to-day.
And to ensure it can be all it can be.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we see that all the time. It's probably of the three goals that we ask our protégés throughout the 12 months, number one is almost always there. How do I not work in the day-to-day every day?
Interesting. Interesting. So thank you for that. Let's switch gears just slightly and talk a little bit about your community involvement, both you ladies. And we'll start with you since you're facing me and smiling and ready to take on the next question, not even knowing frankly what it is. So why are you so involved in the community? And do you think the community involvement can work for everyone?
I do, wholeheartedly. I believe that we're truly designed here to be of service to others. And finding your passion and your purpose in life, I have found that mine is the gift of service. That's where I want to be. And so taking up, whether it's civil rights issues or immigration issues or business issues, I want my voice to be heard because I believe in fighting for the underdog. I've always been that person.
Okay.
And so I volunteer and I'm a part of the Latin American Association. They're very near and dear to my heart. I participate on their steering committee at the Hispanic Corporate Leadership Forum, working with our Latino business resource groups, of which most of our major corporations have a business resource group, whether if it's African American or Latino or whatever, Women Business Network as well. So that's been a great source of joy for me. I'm also very active in my church, in particular with our youth, a life teen core group leader. And I really believe that if we are not investing in our youth, then like I say, for our small businesses, we are really at a disadvantage because they're going to be taking care of us.
Yeah.
And they need to see their elders, I guess they would say, really pulling the hand back and saying, hey, we want to help you succeed. And so having those one-to-one conversations with our youth, our parents these days are so busy. Telling them to detach from their electronic gadgets and have a one-to-one conversation, I think is so essential. We can't lose that part of our humanity of having that face-to-face. So a community and civic engagement is essential, I think, for all of us. And actually, one of the things that we try to instill and propose that all of our businesses be engaged with as well.
Is that one of the criteria?
Absolutely. They have to be civically engaged. Many of the folks that have been a part of the program even have their own foundations, many serving on boards. But as you sow the seeds and reap the rewards of all that you have done, you must do so to others. Mm. It's part of the mantra of life to give back, to help, and so, yes, civic engagement is huge.
Well put, well put. Laura, your thoughts
on
community, and why are you so involved in the community, and do you think community involvement really can work for everyone?
Yes, there is no doubt, and mine's a little different. Mm-hmm. I believe that it is very important to, and it goes back to that, let's take care of my backyard, your backyard, and then what our community is taken care of. Yes, we're, my company as well as me, I mean, from Kennesaw Business Association, Ackworth Business Association, Musk Ministries, Eggleston Children's Hospital, I mean, the Horizon Field, there's so much that we do,
mm-hmm.
but we do it on, you know, a limited basis.
A strategic basis,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. We pick and choose. Right now we're working with Hayes Elementary. We have discovered, a friend of mine discovered that the population of the elementary school has about 67% of children who are on free and reduced lunches.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So as small business owners, what we're doing is we're pulling a monthly stipend in a sense where we can go buy food and stock this pantry where Wonderful. The families can come in and get their monthly supplements in a sense.
Hmm.
It's those type of direct needs. Shop with a Hero programs we're heavily involved in.
Shop with a Hero. I'm not familiar with that one.
It is something that started at Kennesaw Mountain High School. And what it is that they have taught the students that they fundraise, where they raise the money where they can bring in children to whether it's Kohl's or Target. Each one gets gift card, and they get to buy gifts for their family.
Hmm.
And it is a program that is just spread to, I would say, most of the high schools in our area, which is Area 5 for Cobb County. It's huge, and it's just a great week of giving that you see with these kids and with the small businesses, because it is a place you can make a difference. I mean, I truly believe we should all be doing something because it gets your mind off yourself.
Interesting.
And your problems.
I've learned something new today. I love that. I love that. So, ladies, do you think of yourself and as certainly in your leadership aspects, do you think of your leadership as a destination or a journey?
Journey.
Definitely a journey.
Okay. Say more about that.
You know, I think you are only as good as what you know at the time being, and we're in constant evolution. So the hope is that we continue to grow as leaders. I'm constantly reading books, and, you know, one of my favorite books is John C. Maxwell's that I'm reading right now. I think it's The 15 Laws of Irrefutable Growth.
Okay.
It is definitely a journey. Life's a journey. You know, how can you not believe that leadership is not also a journey? I think some of them are born innately, you know, with certain leadership skills. But hopefully along the way you are watering the leader in you and growing and
fertilizing
and
that
fertilizing
part.
It. So I don't know if I answered your question.
I think you did, you know. And so, Laura, I would ask you the same question. You think of leadership as a destination or a journey. And in addition, what tips would you recommend for those trying to become better leaders?
I definitely believe it is a journey. Who I am today as a leader is not who I was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you're put into the neat thing about having the opportunity to be a leader is a gift. It is an obligation, and your obligation is to be the very best leader that you can be. And if you're put into that role, you better get everything that you need to be the very best in that role. I was thrown in as the president last year of the Kennesaw Business Association. Like I said, it's the largest non-chamber business association in Cobb County.
Wow.
And we're, you know, 38 years strong, where past presidents are involved and this and that. And it's like earning a master's degree in leadership that you go through. And I just remember being that entire year of prep, that president-elect position where I was being prepped for that position, and the mentors that came and past presidents who are like, you know, this is what we do and this is how we do it. But then you got to find your own groove.
Yeah.
How are you going to be your own leader? And you get thrown in the deep end and you go, okay, I'm going to do this. And the people that I would, and I keep going back to that. If you don't have the answer to the question, go find it. Talk to someone who can help you do that. It is the key to almost anything that you do in life. Don't sit there and go, well, I don't know what to do. Well, yeah, you do. Go find someone who knows what to do, who's done it and done it better, and you can emulate and then put your twist on it.
Hmm.
And anyways, it was an amazing year of growth. For me, learning how to public speak, fear, top three fears for most people.
You're doing exceptional, by the way.
Yes, you are.
Really, I'm like, gosh, I'm a wallflower. Come here to you, girl. But there were so many things that I learned. Also learned how to solve problems because I'm sitting in a board with 22 executives. These are leaders in our community and leaders in Georgia. And how do you get us all on the same page where we're working together for the mission of the organization? Because mm-hmm. We're all about taking care of our membership and those small businesses and what have you. And it's a challenge sometimes, but I find that if you don't be afraid to do the right thing, even when it's not popular.
Right.
You can sleep at night, and you will have the respect of those around you. And I had, and I'm gonna bounce into something else with leadership, with Cobb Leadership Program. I had the honor of going through that this year, and we had an armed services day. And we were over at Lockheed, and they were flashing on the board all these quotes. And I got to tell you, there were just some that really resonated with me to the point I typed them out, I stuck them on my refrigerator, and I emailed them out to all my friends. I'm like, these are the keys to good leadership and how to live your life. And one of them was, don't lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do.
Wow. It's That's pretty
period.
Succinct.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You are who the people you hang around.
Absolutely.
Surround yourself with great people.
Which makes total sense. So when I focus on you, Veronica, I'm going to ask you a question. When you think through your leadership legacy, what are you most proud of at this point as a leader, knowing that you're going to be evolving? But to this point, what are you most proud of as a leader?
I'm most proud of, and legacy is a really big word.
Yeah.
I definitely don't feel that I have that yet. I like to say I'm on the path.
That's right. That's why I say at this point.
I think I'm most proud of the strength that comes from a leader in their ability to discern. And I think that that's essential to be able to assess those folks that are around you. What are their strengths? What are their capabilities? As a leader, integrity. I think that I exude a lot of integrity. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I like not to overcommit, you know. And at the end of the day, I am who I say I am. And I think you have to lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
Leading by example, I think, is the best thing you can do, not only for your organization, but, as you raise children, leading by example is the only way to go. So as long as I'm being authentic with who I am and leading by example, that is the most that is what I'm proudest of at this point. So,
great.
Yeah,
great.
I hope I answered that.
You did a good job. Good.
I think you did. And so now the spotlight shines on Laura Ann Hart.
And I agree, legacy is a huge word. I think where, like I said earlier, I'm not the leader I will be mm-hmm. in 5 years, but I'm really on the path of where I want to be, honoring your word, the integrity, having the character to take the blame for your team, having the ability to let them shine. It's not all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Let
yeah.
those that work with you, let them have the spotlight. But I would say just character. I want people to know that if I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And when I do it, there's no intent behind it to harm you.
Yeah.
I will always do my very best to make sure that I'm doing what's right, no matter what it is. And if I screw up, by all means, let me know where I can take that constructive criticism and move forward with it, where I can become better and then you can become better and the relationship is better.
And so, as we used to say, when I mess up, blame it on my head and not on my heart.
When we know better, we do better.
That's
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so, I would go out on a limb and say that having a chance to chat with both of you offline, that what I would consider you to be most proud of, or what I'm most proud of you today as a leader, is the fact that you're family women. I mean, you're serious about your daughters, and you're serious about your family. Yes. Certainly that came up as a conversation with you and I, Laura, yesterday.
And so,
I mean, it's come through loud and clear in the offline conversations we've had. So you certainly are the first mentors and icons that your family sees. And so it makes me proud to know I'm sitting across from two great leaders in that respect.
Thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
So how important is it for employees and colleagues and leadership to be lifelong learners?
Extremely. If you become stagnant, you're not willing to roll with as times are changing. You have to constantly be willing to go, huh, maybe there is another way to do that. Maybe there is, you're seeing something I'm not seeing. And I find that those individuals that I work with who are like, okay, I didn't know that. Let me try that. You can just bring so much more to the table, and I don't think I'm answering your question.
No, I think you are.
But yes, you have to constantly be willing to evolve. And you, Veronica, you mentioned that.
It's essential.
You have to. You can't go, I'm done. I'm going to the beach.
Yeah. It's lifelong. It's life. Again, we go back to the same words, lifelong, journey, evolution. When you think you know it all.
You don't.
Life will bring you a test. Are you ready? You know, the truth of the matter is that evolution is essential. And I think when you stop growing, you really are hurting yourself more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Growth is, I think if I can say one thing, you know, personally, I always seek to grow. I don't believe I know it all. I'm glad when I learn something new. I say to my friends and my family and the folks that I work with, I'm just innately curious. I always want to know more than what I know at this moment.
Mm.
And I'm excited when I find something out that I didn't know before.
Mm.
I think that if you have that frame of mind as you grow and evolve in your lifetime, you will be better off for it. So essential piece of the puzzle.
And one of the mantras is change is inevitable, but growth is optional.
Right.
Yeah, you can certainly choose it.
That's certainly true. In the book that I'm reading, the 15, Irrefutable Laws of Growth, John C. Maxwell talks about how we believe that as we age, that we're constantly growing,
mm-hmm.
when in fact that isn't necessarily true.
That's correct.
As we age, it doesn't mean that you're growing. You have to be intentional about your growth and have a growth plan in every aspect of your life. So I thought that was a neat point.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you actually segued into my next question. So what are you doing to ensure you continue to grow and develop as a leader?
I'm attending events like the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast brought on by Giant Impact,
mm-hmm.
which if any of you have had an opportunity to partake in this full day of leadership bombardment, you are better off for it for sure. This organization is focused on building today's leaders, tomorrow's leaders, in any aspect of your life. And we actually had a great strategic partnership with the Giant Impact and Chick-fil-A LeaderCast, and gave a portion of the proceeds to fund the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection. But they brought folks like Henry Cloud and John C. Maxwell and Andy Stanley and this guy from the movie The Act of Valor, who is an actual amazing Marine.
Wow.
And so going to hear from thought leaders should be definitely a recipe for growth. I'm constantly trying to push myself because I want to know more.
Yes.
So I can serve those better. And I also loved another aspect. Henry Cloud was talking about how you have to prune certain areas of your life, mm-hmm. and your business. So here I am, you know, going to say, if you're growing your business and there is one area of your business that is kind of stagnant, maybe it's time to clip it, let it go, and focus on the most profitable piece. And the same goes for your life. If there's areas, people of your life that, you know, lo and behold, are just not productive human beings or situations to be a part of, you got to prune.
Yeah.
And so I've been focusing a lot lately on pruning. My father always said positive input, positive output.
Yeah.
So surround yourself with the right people. And I think growth inevitably comes when you have the right people around you and prioritizing your life in the way that it should be. Everything else will flow.
Well, what a great point. As a matter of fact, I want to piggyback on something you said about Giant Impact. We had the CEO of Giant Impact, Jeremy Kubitschek, in Global Leader Radio.
Excellent.
And so, yeah, he is a great guy and a great organization. And so I will ask the same question of you, Laura. What are you doing to continue and to ensure that you continue to grow and develop as a leader?
I want to go with what Veronica said. I did the Chick-fil-A leader cast. It was absolutely amazing.
Wasn't amazing?
Yeah. Some of the ideas that come in from the CEOs, and there was one idea that stuck with me the last couple of years. It was the CEO of Burberry, where she was talking about how they have almost a reversal of how they run their company. They take all the young people and they put them in a think tank and say, okay, y'all are going to come up with the vision and the ideas that we're going to implement as a company. So they do a bottom-up, and they take those ideas, and then they take them to the executive level and say, okay, you're the executives. You have to implement
it.
You have to make it happen. And what an innovative way to run your company rather than from top down. So to go into what you were saying, well, I just finished up my year with KBA, just finished up, graduated Leadership Cobb. The only class that matters is our mantra.
The only class that matters. I love it.
So honestly, I'm waiting on, I'm looking for that next step because I had such a year of change and growth and leadership. And now, you know, there are certain projects we're working on. I'm working on the Carrabba's Culinary Challenge. And basically what that is we've got Mike Schroeder. He's the owner of Carrabba's over in our neck of the woods on Barrett Parkway. He had approached KBA last year and said, hey, I want to invest back in the community. I want to do it with culinary because, once again, when you go back to schools, we have put our children on this, everybody got to go to college. Well, some of them should go into vo-tech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's one of the things that's not readily available anymore in Cobb anyways. So he said, I'm going to invest back in. He goes, what are we going to do? So we sat down, we put our heads together and said, all right, we're going to do an Iron Chef cook-off at the Taste of Kennesaw. And if you're a rising senior and you're going to study culinary arts in college or restaurant management, you can apply. So we had this huge day at Taste of Kennesaw where these kids, four kids, cooked off, and the winner took $3,000 for school.
Wow.
And it was a way to invest back in the community, and that winner has to come back next year and mentor the kids. So I'm working on that project. But my stuff, like I said, is a little different. We do teacher appreciation luncheons, but I don't want to say I'm stuck because I'm not stuck yet. It's what's next.
Yeah.
And being available for that what's next, because I had such an amazing year last year, and I honestly think what's next is going to be growing my company.
Mm-hmm.
With my husband now on board, it's time to take it to the next level, and let's put the systems in place where we can do that.
Awesome.
So I think that's kind of where we're headed.
And, you know, there's also a time of assessment and reflection. And
hit the pause button.
You got to hit the pause button and reflect back on everything that you learned so that you can really instill it in your everyday. So,
and that's one of the steps of leadership, by the way. Personal reflection is important. And journaling is something that is important as well. That's what we do in the executive MBA program. Is what we teach people is that leaders do have introspective skills. They understand how to look inside and
Absolutely.
Understand who they are and where they've come from and appreciate how far they've come. Because gratitude is something that's vitally important, and most times it's missing, quite frankly. We're always focused on the end goal, and we don't look back and realize, look how far we've come, and then we can also help someone else as we move along, too.
Absolutely.
So, ladies, we get to toward the end of our time together, and it's been a distinct pleasure. So now we get to the next to the last question of our time. Okay, we still have one more to go.
We got one more.
We're
question.
Ready.
That's
we're
right.
ready.
All right. The next to the last, and we're
like Jeopardy.
I love like Jeopardy. We'll make both the audio and the video of your answer to this question available on our web posting. So, which book has most impacted your leadership ability?
Actually, does it have to be a book?
Yeah.
Can it be in?
Whichever resource
okay.
you'd like.
All right. There is a series that I got turned on to a couple of years ago. It's by Dr. Bill Purvis. He is the pastor at Cascades Church. You know this?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had the privilege of meeting Dr. Bill several years ago. I had just quit real estate, a babe in the woods, and I was invited to this leadership conference, and Dr. Bill was speaking, and I went up to him afterwards, and I said, you know, I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. I said, I'm leaving this. I'm starting this new company, and it's going to allow me to, in a sense, get my family back. And just a sidebar for a second, when I was in real estate, I literally was doing about 80 hours a week, chasing the money. I was very good at what I did, loved what I did. I was like, yeah, but there was about 5 years that, you know, I'm not seeing my kids grow.
Yeah.
And my husband's going, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. He goes, it's a trade-off. What do you want? And obviously a lot of different things fell into place. And I was telling Bill, I said, not sure, is this the right move? And he took my hand and he goes, you know, it is, because you're honoring your family, you're moving forward, and you're taking a chance. And I said, all right, I got it. So anyways, we have kept touch over the last couple of years, but I subscribe to his leadership series.
Okay.
It's a CD that comes every month, and it's biblically based, but it's leadership skills that you can implement every day. So I get my monthly CDs, and I listen to them when I'm on the road or heading out to a sales call, and it just reinvigorates me on how to be better and what to look out for and how I can give back. So not a book, but
a resource.
It is a resource. And
That's a great resource.
It is a great resource. I've got a whole bunch I will give to
you.
Oh,
I'd love it. Yes. I'd love it. And it comes back down to prioritizing your life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think once you have those things truly in place, everything kind of works in your favor when you got it down the right way. And obviously, that's definitely happened for you.
And balance is not an easy thing to achieve when you're trying to make things happen in the business world.
No, you had said something earlier, and I won't take up your time. I'll just little quick thing. It was something that you had said, who is the person behind the leader?
Mm-hmm.
And when I look back at this past year, it was such a magnanimous year for me. I literally couldn't have done it if Eric, my husband, he was at every meeting.
Hmm.
He's picking up the slack when I'm doing these 12-hour leadership cop days, or I'm focusing all my time on KBA and how it's going to run. He was there. I could not have done that without that support system.
Mm-hmm.
So it is so important, whether it's a spouse or
significant other.
Absolutely. Whoever it may be, a friend that is there to say, you know, you go do this. I got your back and take care of everything else. You go out there and learn all you can and be the very best you can be. So,
because we all benefit.
Absolutely. Right. We do all benefit. So I'm sorry, Sue, taking up your
time. Not a problem. Veronica, which book has most impacted your leadership ability?
Which book has most impacted my leadership ability? You know, I keep talking about the 15 Irrefutable Laws of Growth. That book has really made a mark on me.
Mm-hmm.
The other one has been Strength Finders 2.0. If you've ever heard of this book, it's an amazing book. If you've never heard of it, pick it up today so you can find out what your strengths are and truly align your life to doing what it is that your strength is. I think when you know what your strength is, you can develop that, and I'm working on that on a daily basis, and I think that's really helped me step up my my leadership growth module, I guess if you can say.
Yeah, your trajectory is going strong vertical move, correct?
Yes, I hope so. That is the intent.
Well, ladies, on behalf of our learning community, we've learned a lot from you, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedules to join us today. And I'd love to have you back on the show sometime if we can ever get our schedules all synced up. Is that a deal?
Sounds like
Absolutely.
A plan.
Thank you so much.
I like that.
It's been wonderful.
It has been an honor.
Well, cool. And with that in mind, could you tell us the last question?
Okay.
Tell us how our learning community can contact you by email and or by phone.
Okay. Email would be laura@quickiecouponbook.com, and our website is www.quickiecoupons.net, and my phone number is 678-918-6961.
And you can email me at Veronica M, and that's Veronica with a C, Veronica M at spelled out Georgia Mentor Protege Connection.org.
And our website is GeorgiaMentorProtegeConnection.org. And for any ethnic minority-owned business that isn't certified, please, please, please visit us at GMSDC at www.gmsdc.org and let us certify you so you can do business with corporate America.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And the reason why we ask for that contact information is, quite frankly, we begin the conversation here, but there very well may be people that have listened to this, either this live show or the podcast of this show, and may want to contact you to get a little bit more information and or to continue the conversation in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So we appreciate you for allowing them to do that. And with that smile, we bring today's edition of Global Leader Radio to a close. We invite all our listeners to check our web presence for previous interviews and links to valuable leadership resources. So also, please drop me an email at acm0996@kennesaw.edu if you have recommendations for guests. And for those of you interested in our award-winning Executive MBA program, please go to the EMBA icon on our Global Leader Radio site to connect to us and sign up for an information session, which incidentally happens to be this coming weekend, this coming Saturday. And so join us again at the same location for the next edition of Global Leader Radio, the show that discusses ideas that matter with passionate people who care. So have a great week.
Global Leader Radio is brought to you by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. Take charge of your personal development and professional career today by learning more at KSUEMBA.com. And join us next week as we discuss ideas that matter with people who care.